the Lord may be pleased to help me this morning, I'll direct you to a word in the Psalm 27. Psalm 27, we read verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that when I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Psalm 27, the fourth verse. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. This, as you know, is one of the Psalms of David. He was declared in the Scriptures to be the sweet psalmist of Israel. And what a precious part of God's Word the Psalms of David do form. And surely be made a great blessing to many of God's dear people down through the generations. And often in the Psalms of David we have an unfolding, as it were, of the spiritual exercise that the dear psalmist at times was the subject of. His life is recorded in the Scripture in quite detail. When we come to the Psalms, which he wrote, passing through those various experiences that God led him through, we have an unfolding, as it were, of somewhat of his inner exercises in the midst of these things. To the Lord's dear people, God's dealings, and sometimes his dealings in providence, are a means of soul exercise. And this the dear psalmist was the subject of. So that as he expresses his desires, his exercises, how at times these things do find a place in the hearts of God's dear people. And it's a great mercy, friends, if at times we feel we can, as it were, in spirit, stand alongside the psalmist, both in his requests, his desires, and in his exercises as he sought to acknowledge God in his mercy. We have many prayers expressed in the Psalms, and they have been the language of God's dear people oftentimes, I do believe. And it may well be, as you meditate upon the Psalms of David and those prayers which are expressed in those Psalms, you find that your heart at times goes out in desire in the same way. You need the same blessings. You have the same desires. Indeed, if we are taught by the Spirit of God, there will be some measure of uniformity in the desires of one another. Unless the psalmist was inspired by the Holy Spirit to express these desires in some of the Psalms, if through God's great mercy, and it is through God's great mercy, we can enter a little into them, surely does it not mean that we are being taught by the same Spirit? My hope is I try and bring this very simple word in a sense before you this morning, it might have that effect. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. Well, there's this one thing that the psalmist had deep down in his heart as a desire, as it were, above every other thing. Life is an experience of desires. Natural life brings natural desires. It brings natural needs, which need to be supplied, that life, that natural life, might be maintained. Now, how true this is with regard to spiritual life. Well, if God in his great mercy has implanted a spark of divine life in your soul, then there'll be times when you will have spiritual desires. And those desires cannot be satisfied from any source but from God himself. From the Lord Jesus Christ, he who reigns in Zion, he who is king in Zion, placed there by God the Father. And Here is the only source of that, those desires being fulfilled and supplied. It's a great mercy, dear friends, if you have those desires. Because if you have those desires, there'll be times when you realise no earthly source can meet and supply those desires. And it brings you to look above. It brings you to look above all earthly things. And while God in his great mercy supplies the daily needs in daily path, in your daily pathway, and these blessings call for thanksgiving, may we never take these things for granted. May God grant us a thankful heart for daily blessings. But you see, they're not grace, are they? They're not grace. They're not that which will stand a poor sinner in good stead in a dying hour. But now as you come to consider this text this morning, surely there are those things contained in it which point that way. What I mean is, this which the psalmist desires is something which will be a benefit to him toward eternity. And so may the Lord help us then for a little while this morning, in a very simple way, as I always have to be, to consider this word, hoping that God will be pleased to direct it to one heart or another and prove to be perhaps a word of blessing, perhaps a word of encouragement, a word of confirmation. You see, surely in one sense, the experiences of God's dear people could often be summed up in this word, desires. You see, in natural things, as soon as a baby is born, it has desires, and although it cannot, of course, express those desires not audibly, but there are needs and there are desires. There, so it is in spiritual things. And a great mercy to be in possession at times, even of a desire. Though perhaps sometimes you may feel tried because you fear not to have attained to great things. And indeed, we have to be careful with regard to this, because the word of God warns us in this way: seekest thou great things for thyself, seek them not. But the invitation is to seek real things. But what I mean is this: sometimes the religion of a child of God seems to be reduced to desires. You cannot feel to be in possession of much, and yet the desires, and they're desires which the Lord alone can supply. So then our text brings us along those, that line of thought, as it were. And I would notice this too, as we come to consider this word, in the light of the psalmist's case, his life and his desires. Notice how he expresses his desire before the Lord at this time. And it's a desire concerning a dwelling place in the house of the Lord. This was his outstanding desire. Now if you read the account of David's life, and we have a detailed account of it, you will notice that there were times when the dear man was very concerned about things pertaining to the house of God, the house of the Lord. Indeed, as grace was given, there were times with him when he was helped to seek first, as it were, the kingdom of God. It is noticeable that when the dear psalmist at length was settled upon the throne of Israel, according to God's faithful promise to him, we read how David was almost immediately concerned about the things pertaining to the house of God, the worship of God. In his day, he sought that there might be a resting place for the ark. There was no settled resting place for the ark in those days. Indeed, there had been some very solemn times passing over Israel as a nation because of their sin. They were brought into very solemn circumstances. And there was not any settled place for the ark. And now David was concerned about this. And when he was settled upon the throne, how he sought the Lord for divine direction with regard to the settlement of the ark and and where God was to be worshipped. And so if you read Psalm 132, you'll notice there how the Lord was pleased to reveal to David things concerning the settlement of the ark and the worship of God. But the point I wanted to make is this. Notice how David was concerned about the worship of God. God in his great mercy had raised him up to sit upon the throne of Israel. God had wrought great wonders in this respect. But here's David, you know, concerned about the worship of God. And this text, it shows this in the exercise of the psalmist. He does not express a desire with regard to attainment in things to do with his life alone, but rather that he might have a dwelling place in the house of the Lord. This was his chief desire this time. Notice, he says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord." It indicates surely a particular desire, a desire above all other desires. And good it is, friends, if sometimes your soul is exercising that way, to have those right desires for right things. Yes, for there to be some priority in this. Right it is to desire daily blessings, and we depend upon the Lord for them, every one of them, every breath that we draw. But are there times when there is that desire above all other desires with respect to the worship of God, and your case in the light of these things? Because where there is such a desire as this, surely it gives evidence of the Spirit's work within the soul. Man by nature does not desire such things as the psalmist speaks of here. True, there are those who may profess religion and satisfied with some outward profession, and in one sense there is perhaps something with regard to the outward performance of worship, and perhaps some desire in that way. But what is the motive? Well, to a dead professor, the motive is just this, to, as it were, to maintain an outward profession of religion without a concern with regard to that which is so vital. But you see, when you consider the matter aright, and may the Lord help us so to do, the psalmist's desire was something far deeper than all this. He had a real concern with regard to things pertaining to the house of the Lord and the worship of God, and his personal interest in it. And that is so important, isn't it? You see, we may tend sometimes perhaps to consider matters in a general sense. But if the Lord is pleased to deal with us, we cannot be satisfied with things in a general way, as it were, to merely assent to the truth in a general sense is not sufficient. All we need a personal experience. If we have a personal experience, there will be a personal desire. Now David had that. And surely when he was concerned about the resting place of the ark and where the Lord would have the ark be, and where his worship was to be centred, as it were, surely the underlying concern was with other things, of course, the psalmist's case. Notice, he's very personal in this text. He says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, and that I may dwell in the house of the Lord." Now, this is not to be considered as being something that's very restrictive, as it were, but it does show to us this, doesn't it? that where there's a real spiritual desire, it will be very personal. Good it is to seek the welfare of others, and may we be helped to do so. We are exhorted to pray one for another. But you know, religion begins at home, doesn't it? A real prayer begins at home. If we're the subject of these desires, there will be personal desires. There will be this one thing. I know there may be times when other things seem to prevail, as it were. And we may be turned aside sometimes and taken up very much with things of this life. And while there are the lawful things of daily life to be attended to, the Word of God does say to us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But good it is when there are those desires that rise up in the heart. And could we be helped? May the Lord help us to examine ourselves in the light of this. How do we come to the house of prayer? How did we come this morning? Did we come because it was the Sabbath day, the Sunday morning? Did we come because this is the usual course of things, to gather in the house of prayer for worship? Or were there, are there those expressed desires, those concerns with regard to your soul and God whom you desire to worship? Good it is if we come within the compass of this text in the light of public worship. One thing of our desire to the Lord. Oh, what are those desires that go up to the Lord? You see, the Lord alone can supply this blessing that the psalmist was anxious to be the subject of and to partake. It comes from the Lord. And if the Lord has been pleased to work in our hearts by his Spirit, then we shall realise at times that it is the Lord alone who can meet our needs. The Lord has been pleased to convince us of our sin, and a most needful experience that is. It is the Lord alone who can meet that need of a poor convinced sinner, feeling to be lost and undone in himself, guilty, a transgressor of God's holy law. Depends upon God's mercy. That mercy that flows to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, spiritual desires can only be satisfied from a spiritual source. So then, this desire. Now we notice that it was a desire that produced an exercise in his heart. Because the text says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. There was a seeking, you see. It's a great mercy to have a desire. But it's a great mercy also to seek that desire may be granted. There's a striking word in the Proverbs, isn't there? The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. He desireth that nothing. But you see, if the Lord is pleased to graciously exercise us, and that's what we need, there'll be not only the desire, but there will be the seeking, that God would supply that desire. And so the psalmist puts it before us in this way. One thing have I desired of the Lord. It is to the Lord he has to look. That will I seek after. And in one sense, this is an encouraging word for those who are true seekers. Or do you come within the compass of those who do seek the Lord? Is it one matter that you're concerned about when you come to the house of prayer? Do you seek his face? Do you seek his mercy? Do you seek that the Lord would speak a word to your soul? And are there those secret times when you do seek before the Lord in prayer? Yes, in a secret place, that God would bless your soul, that you might know that mercy which the Lord's people alone come to experience. his salvation. Well, here's the psalmist then. And he says, that will I seek after. Oh, what a mercy, dear friends, to be kept alive, to be the subject of these desires, and for there to be a seeking. A seeking. You see, if these desires are sincere, then surely those desires cannot be satisfied unless supplied. Less supplied. But notice how these desires do direct the dear psalmist to that wonderful source of supply. And things pertaining to the house of the Lord. For he says, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. In this desire that the psalmist was the subject of, he desired to know what it was to realise that he had a dwelling place in the house of the Lord. Now, I mentioned just now how the psalmist was concerned with regard to where the ark should be. The Lord would reveal where he would have his resting place, where the Lord would dwell, as it were. If you read that Psalm 132, the Lord speaks there to the psalmist. He says, here will I dwell, for I've desired it. Here will I dwell. You see, the Lord revealed this. He would dwell in Zion, his dwelling place, amongst his dear people, here below. And, of course, Zion on high. But he said, here will I dwell. Now, here's the psalmist expressing his desire. He says that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. You see, there's a coming together, as it were. That where the Lord dwells, where the Lord is pleased to reveal his mercy, it is there a living soul desires to be found. And so he says that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Now, how would you understand this? Of course, the dear psalmist could not be, as it were, in a literal sense, a resident in the house of the Lord all the days of his life, in every sense of the word. He reigned upon the throne. He had to reign over Israel. But can we not discern here his uppermost concern, his uppermost desire, this dwelling place in the house of the Lord? As though he would desire this far more than anything else, lawful though it may be, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Now, how do we understand this then? Well, surely we can think of it like this. To dwell there in your desires, in your thoughts. To put it in a very simple way, you may be going about your daily duties or daily calling in life, but sometimes there's a thought and it goes toward the Lord, it goes toward his house. Now, in that sense, in your thoughts you dwell in the house of the Lord. Yes, in your thoughts. Indeed, with regard to your desires, with regard to the welfare of God's house of prayer and his worship, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. But then, in a more particular sense, there is a way, there's an experience, and a great mercy, dear friends, if we know a little of the secret of it. There is such a thing as really knowing what it is to realise that the house of the Lord is your soul's dwelling place. The psalmist expresses it here by way of desire. He says that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Now, what a mercy, dear friends, if that desire is found in your heart and you seek that it may be experienced, even a dwelling place in the house of the Lord. Yes, as distinct from, just as it were, a mere visitor, to be one who dwells there. To find the house of the Lord and is indeed a spiritual house, a spiritual home. Because there, you find there are the provisions which alone the Lord can bless your soul, and the desires of your soul go that way. You might know those blessings as one who dwells there. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Yes, not just, as it were, one who is satisfied with a mere outward attendance of worship, no, but a dwelling place there. And there's a sense in which the worship of God, in the experience of it, brings a poor sinner into some realization of this. And be thankful, poor sinner, if sometimes you know something of this, that the Lord, the house of the Lord, has been and is made a dwelling place to you. You find that there is a source of supply there. There's something about the house of the Lord and the worship of God, and those things pertaining to the worship of God. Yes, his glorious gospel proclaimed. You find there's something there where you do desire to dwell. Yes, desire to dwell there. Yes, to know something what it is to abide in these things. Although, of course, it is the Sabbath day ends, you go forth into the coming week, but there's something that remains. And that something remains is to do with the house of the Lord. And a dwelling place there. Maybe the Lord has been pleased to visit you there. Spoke a word to your heart. Made the gospel very precious to your soul. Well, all these things add up, as it were, to a dwelling place in the Lord, in the house of the Lord. You see, not a casual visitor, no, but a one who dwells. And you see, when you think of it, it has this meaning, doesn't it? You belong to those things pertaining to the house of the Lord. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And what was the underlying principle in this? Well, I think it can be answered in this way. If you go back into the previous psalm, Psalm 26, and in the 8th verse we read this. Lord, he says, I have loved the habitation of thine house and the place where thine honour dwelleth. You see, here it is. What was the moving principle? Well, the dear psalmist, there was love in his heart. God had put it there. Yes, a love to God, a love to his house, a love to his house as that habitation. Yes, God's habitation, I speak reverently, and a poor sinner's habitation. I quoted that word to you just now in Psalm 132, where the Lord said, here will I dwell. It was God's habitation, you see. But then this is the same in a lower sense, of course, with regard to his dear people. They find it a habitation. They desire to dwell where the Lord dwells. They would draw near in that way, would seek to worship in that way, and that their desires may come up before the Lord in this direction. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Yes, it is a place of resort, isn't it? Maybe sometimes you look forward to the Sabbath day, to be released from the cares and pressures and concerns of daily life, and to enter into his house. In that sense, to find a dwelling place there. You realise there's something there which is to be far desired above everything else. Yes, a blessing for your soul. You see, It is there in Zion. There the Lord commands his blessing, doesn't he? Yes, he commands his blessing. He deals with poor sinners, makes them feel their need of his blessing, convinces them of their sin, calls them to desire to know the blessings of his forgiveness. The Lord has promised to convey those blessings. Yes, and often it is in the public means of grace. While God is not confined to ways and means, but it's very clear in the Word of God, and surely God's dear people experience this, that the Lord is pleased to communicate to his dear people as they seek to dwell in his house. There are those provisions. Yes, it is there. He makes his gospel to be precious to them. He calls them to hear his voice. He draws them, draws their hearts to him. And they come into a little experience of what it is to truly worship. Yes, and that with humility. You see, we do not interpret this word here that David wanted some prominent place in the house of the Lord. No. Because in another psalm we read this: I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Choose to sit at the threshold, the lowest place. If but one may be, as it were, a dweller within the house, be at a low place. And good it is when that spirit of humility prevails. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. But then the psalmist puts it like this: to behold the beauty of the Lord. Now here there was some attraction, and that was nothing to do with outward things. Later on, of course, Solomon, David's son, was raised up to build the house of the Lord, that temple, and it was a beautiful building, a magnificent place. But when the psalmist here speaks about the beauty of the Lord, he's not thinking about a wonderful building in the outward sense of it, no. But something which is spiritual. The beauty of the Lord. And now to a poor sinner, surely, there is something with regard to that which is attractive to a needy sinner. And these are things pertaining to the house of the Lord. It is in worship that sometimes a poor sinner is favoured with a glimpse by faith of the dear Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because when we think of the beauty of the Lord, surely it should and may direct us to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I know that this psalmist lived in those days, those Old Testament times, when the dear Son of God had not yet come in the flesh. But there were those ways in which the Lord was pleased to reveal his beauty, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, his tender compassion, his love. And the psalmist knew what it was for these things to be attractive to him. He desired them. And so, he says, I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Yes, and there's a beauty, dear friends, which is so attractive to poor guilty sinners. And in this gospel day, is there not a beauty, the beauty of the Lord, in the Lord Jesus Christ himself, his glorious gospel, the things pertaining to his worship? Solemn though they are, yet there's a beauty in them. And there's that striking word, isn't there? Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. God grants us reverence in things pertaining to the worship of God. May be delivered from those things that are unbecoming in worship. But there's a beauty to be known. There are blessings to be known. There is God's smile, his favour. Not for what we are, and how we cannot merit God's favour. We do not merit his favour in seeking a dwelling place in his house, really. What I mean is this: we do not realise, we're not made to realise that it is what we do, what we purpose to do, no. But it is what God has designed to give. All of his mercy. And you see, it is in the gospel and in the exercise of worship that these things at times are graciously displayed. And to a living soul, with a living desire, these things become attractive. There's something that responds in your heart graciously. Really, the psalmist expresses it later on in this same psalm, doesn't he? When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I see. You see, there's a beauty. God is it as he's revealed himself in the person of his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a beauty there to needy sinners, those convinced of their sin. No beauty to the ungodly, no. But indeed, a beauty to convince sinners. Yes, you see a wondrous glory in this. God in the person of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, it is in the house of the Lord that the Lord is pleased at times to reveal himself. There's a striking expression in the Song of Solomon, isn't there? With respect to looking through the lattice, as it were. And you can think of this with regard to worship, and how the Lord is pleased sometimes to unfold his glory in a measure. And it is, as it were, through the lattice of his worship, through the lattice of his word. In the exercise of worship, the Lord reveals himself. And you see, the desire is that way, isn't it? One as well said in the hymn, what is the house to me unless the master I can see? Oh, here's the beauty. Yes, and the dear Lord Jesus Christ, his wondrous person, yes, his law-fulfilling righteousness, his atoning sacrifice, there's a beauty in it. It becomes attractive to a poor guilty sinner. Yes, to behold the beauty of the Lord. And you see, to know this, in some degree, we do need the Lord to exercise in us the faith in him, for there to be, as it were, the eye of faith, to behold those things and not seen with the natural eye, yet made very real to faith, a glimpse, yes, of his face, to realise his smile. These are things that a living soul desires to enter into, to experience. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Well, one more expression here in this text, isn't there? To inquire in his temple. It does direct our thoughts, does it not, to that provision the Lord has made with regard to his worship. And his house, there is the mercy seat. There is the throne of grace. Yes, where long years ago, as God spoke to Moses and directed him with regard to the things pertaining to worship in those days, and the construction of the temple and the ark, the mercy seat, the Lord said, there will I meet thee. There will I meet thee. You see, it is a meeting place, and a meeting place to inquiring souls, to inquire in his temple. Or are there those inquiries? Are those desires expressed? Those needs expressed before the Lord, as it were? Do you know what it is to seek a dwelling place in the house of the Lord, and to know what it is to come before him? Yes, with your desires, and in spirit, to express them before him, to inquire in his temple. It does bring before us, doesn't it, something of the condescending mercy of God to his dear people. Oh, he comes to their need. There is a meeting place. Yes, he hears prayer. These inquiries, it very much points, doesn't it, to the exercise of prayer. Yes, inquire in his temple. There's that place, you see, the throne of grace, his mercy seat, where he has promised to meet with and to bless his people. Oh, this wondrous throne of grace. The Lord Jesus Christ reigns there, he rules there. And there are those exceeding great and precious promises to encourage these inquiring ones. And if you're a true seeker, then you'll inquire. Yes, and those inquiries will be to do with things pertaining to your never-dying soul. You notice the psalmist expressed his desires in one place and another, not only in this text before us, but in other places in the Psalms we read it. And it may be sometimes your desire has coincided with the psalmist in what he expressed. I think of one inquiry. What did David say? Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Oh, that is a desire above all other, many other desires, to realize an interest in God's salvation, and that he who is worshipped in Zion, he who has his dwelling place in Zion, is your God, that you're his, that you have an interest in his mercy, in his great salvation. And the inquiry will be this at times, the Lord will say this. Oh, you want him to come and speak into your heart, don't you? Yes, hear that voice. Yes, that voice of pardon. That voice that brings peace. That voice which may be sometimes a voice of direction to you in the way in which you go, but it's the voice of the Lord. And it is a gracious voice. It is a powerful voice. Although, at times, a still small voice. Well, this text then brings before us this desire, this expressed desire of the psalmist, what he desired. Now, God regarded the dear psalmist in this. It might be a word of encouragement to a true seeker, perhaps one who feels he cannot attain to great things, but there's a seeking in his heart. Or there's encouragement in God's word to seek his face. Yes. The Lord has said, I love them that love me, and they that seek me early shall find me. And how the dear psalmist proved the truth of this, didn't he? And you can pursue it right to the end of his journey. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Yes, God granted him that. And sometimes the dear man had some sweet intimation of this. And I would just draw your attention to the 23rd Psalm and the latter part of it. I know a psalm well known to each one of us. But what did the dear psalmist express there? He said this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, the dear man's thoughts were directed heavenward, you see. Yes, and that was the prospect. And that was the promised blessing, and it is the promised blessing to all God's dear people, that they shall know that dwelling place in heaven above, where there's nothing to come between, where there's no sorrow, no pain, no sickness, no death. God grant us that mercy. Amen.
We'll conclude this morning by singing hymn number 1124. The tune is Mitten, 374. Hymn hymn number 1124. I fain would love the day of rest, would still esteem this day the best, but oft, alas, I've need to say, how barren is my soul today. True, I frequent the house of prayer,